Take your Bible, if will, this morning, open it to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1, if you would. I was thinking there while we were singing that song, Never Grow Old, there may be some young people in here saying, man, wait a minute, I want to get a little older. Young people oftentimes want to be, they can't wait till maybe they're 16, some can't wait till 18 or 21, but there's some of us that look forward to that thought, all right? But the question is, how old will we be in heaven? Say, preacher, you going to answer it? Not today. Mark chapter 1, all right? Mark chapter 1. I'm preaching through the book of Mark, and this is the fifth message out of chapter 1. Said, preacher, how many? Well, I'll tell you this, I've outlined another one that I haven't preached, all right? And you said, are you going to? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I will or not. But hey, there are 45 verses. There are 45 verses, all right? So there's a lot. And by the way, if I could preach 50 messages out of Mark chapter 1, we wouldn't cover it. The Bible's inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. We're going to start today in verse 32. The Bible says, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ began his public ministry, it had an absolutely profound effect on the people of the land. Obviously, there had never been anyone like him. Never. I mean, folks said about him, never a man spake like this man. That Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 and verse 29, after meeting the Lord and talking to him, said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Hey, I mean, there was never anybody like him. And I want you to think just for a moment. When you read your Bible, do not read it as if it has nothing to do with you. I always tell people what you really ought to do is put yourself into the book, all right? Can you imagine had you have been in that area in those days? Think about it. You would have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have heard of what he was doing. I mean, it spread all over everywhere, okay? You would have heard. Now, remember, there were no cowboy games to go to. There were no Ranger games to go to. There was no TV to watch. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying to you, entertainment was limited, all right? Now, I know it's going to shock some of you, but there wasn't even an iPhone to look at, all right? I mean, it was tough living. Boy, if you heard about something like the doings of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were anywhere close, I'll just believe with all my heart, you would have said, let's go see him. You would have sought him out. So when the disciples came to the Lord there, down in verse 37, and they said, all men seek for thee. What they were saying was what was going on. I mean, you would have come. Some people probably came because just he was becoming famous. And people then are like people now. We like to rub shoulders with people that are famous. If we see somebody that's famous, we can't wait to go tell somebody else. Man, I shook their hand. The only real famous person I ever saw was Frog Milhouse. Most of y'all go, who? Well, that's your fault, not mine, all right? That's the most famous person I ever met, Smiley Burnett, okay? Now, he also played the engineer on the Petticoat Junction, all right? But when I met him, it was long before that, all right? I was just a little kid, and so I haven't washed my hands. No, I was kidding. I have washed it numerous times, all right? Hey, we look forward to meeting people that are famous. Hey, people came. They sought the Lord Jesus Christ. They came for various reasons. There were different reasons. Different people came for different reasons. I want to just talk to you a few minutes about that little phrase, all men seek for thee, all right? I want to speak to you on that. First of all, I want you to think of it this way. I believe many came for freedom. For freedom. Now, not political freedom. Not freedom from political oppression, not freedom from slavery, but they, in the sense that we normally think of slavery. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, look in verse 34, and notice what it says. He said he cast out many devils, all right? And it says in verse 32, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. I want to tell you, those folks wanted some freedom. They wanted to be free from that demon possession. They wanted to be free from that unclean spirit. Now, oftentimes we, in this country especially, we look at that and we kind of dismiss that thought. But I want to say to you, demon possession is a real thing. It is not a false thing. It's not something maybe that we run into a great deal in our land, but boy, I've talked to missionaries that have dealt with it, and many of them talk about dealing with demon-possessed people. Hey, that was a problem in that day that the Lord Jesus Christ faced, but the Bible tells us that he had in verse 27, notice in verse 27, that they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. They do obey him. Now, I'm talking about all men seek for thee, but I want you to notice everybody didn't get excited to see him. Look at verse 23, would you? Look at verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Hey, I'll tell you, those unclean spirits knew what the people did not know. They knew what the learned folks of religion in that day did not grasp. They knew exactly who Jesus Christ was. They knew he was God. They knew that he had power over them. And when they saw him coming, they weren't excited. Notice it said, you know, are you come to destroy us? Hey, they knew he had within his power that ability. There was no doubt about it. So those that had demon possession, those that had those unclean spirits within them, those when they were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, their desire was freedom. Boy, we're seeking you. We want freedom from that unclean spirit. We want freedom from that demon possession. And the Lord Jesus Christ had no problem dealing with that. No problem dealing with that. He could cast them out, and he did without a problem. He had the authority over them. So many came for freedom. Many came for physical help. Physical help. They sought out the Lord Jesus Christ because they realized, they knew, I need some physical help. These were people, the Bible said they had divers diseases. Now that's not disease of people that go under the water, okay? No, that's various, diverse diseases, okay? And they brought them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people came. They came seeking physical help. They came looking. Hey, our problem, our Savior had no problem dealing with them. Once word got around that he was coming, many, many people came looking for him. Why? We want relief. We want relief. Remember the story in the Word of God. It's not in this chapter, but in the Bible, of that woman who had been had that issue of blood for years, and she had tried every doctor she could. She had spent all she had to get relief from that problem. They could not do her any good. And her desire was, I'm just going to touch the hem of his garment. And I'm going to trust that to take care of me. She came seeking him, all right? Hey, man, that was a day when medicine was limited. Wasn't like it is in our day. Man, we marvel. I don't know about you, but I marvel at what modern medicine can do. I have lived long enough to see cures come about for some things that when I was younger, man, it seemed like there was no cure for them. And we live in a wonderful day. But it comes at a price. I want to tell you, you came to Jesus, the price was right. You came to him seeking help physically with some kind of disease, maybe even leprosy. That leper came to him in verse 40, beseeching him. And said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There was no doubt in the mind and the heart of that leper that God could do for him what he needed. Hey, many today seek the Lord when they get sick. They may not seek him when they're healthy, but they come looking when the doctor gives bad news. They come looking. They come seeking that. They begin to pray. Those that have not prayed much in the past suddenly become prayers, all right? But, hey, prayer in that way sometimes seems like it's just an emergency measure. You know, here I am, nothing else. I've got no other choice. I'll pray now. Well, hey, you can come that way. You can come. Hey, all men seek thee. Some of them sought him for freedom. Some sought him for physical help. But many came to be fed. Many came to be fed. We hear in the scripture the Lord fed 5,000. 5,000. He took a few fish and a handful of loaves, and he fed 5,000. Another place, in another instance in the scripture, he fed 4,000. And they took up leftovers. The Lord was able to take what I call one sack lunch and feed thousands and still have leftovers. And it wasn't because the food wasn't good, all right? Hey, there was just more than enough. Hey, when word got out of that, people began to seek the Lord just for food. Just for food. Who of us here doesn't like a free meal? Let's just be honest. Oh, it was about a month or so ago now. Had a lady that's children in her school, and she had taken a new job, and she told my wife and I, hey, we're opening this new restaurant, and if you'll come during this time period, you can eat free. Oh, no, we're not interested in that. Where's that restaurant? We went. Food was good. Said, have you been back? No, it was free then. It was free then. Hey, folks, they sought out the Lord Jesus Christ because they heard there was food. People still do that. People today come to the church looking for food. People today come to the church. They also come today looking for help with physical needs. They want rent help and utility help, medical bills, and go on and on and on. You say, well, preacher, is anything wrong with that? Well, wait a minute. Don't you remember what the Lord said when he gave what we refer to as the people refer to as the Lord's Prayer? He said, give us this day our daily what? All right, so we come seeking food. It's okay to pray. It's okay to seek him to provide those needs. Sure it is. It's all right. It's right. It's proper for you to pray when you have physical needs. Or you're sick. The doctor maybe come along. I've asked you to pray for me dealing with some issues. And nothing in the world wrong with that. We ought to come to him. By the way, I think you ought to go to him first. I don't mean you shouldn't go to the doctor. Nothing wrong. God gave us good doctors. We ought to go, all right? But nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, if you know of someone that maybe you feel like honestly, now you're not some spaced out soul, but you honestly feel like they have a problem with demon possession, you ought to pray for them. You ought to seek God's help. They need that help, all right? Sure they do. But let me say this to you. That's not all you ought to go to the Lord for. I'll be honest with you. I think there's two things today you and I ought to seek him for before we go to him looking for food, before we go to him looking for physical needs. You said, what is that, preacher? I'll tell you, first of all, I think we ought to go to him, seek him for forgiveness. For forgiveness. You said, why you say that? Because the Bible's real plain. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Romans 3:10, for there's none righteous. No, not one. The best person you know, the godliest person you know, is a sinner. Is a sinner. And I want to tell you this, the only place you can get forgiveness is from the Lord. We ought to seek him. We ought to go to him for forgiveness. I mean, that ought to be high on the list of priorities. We ought to seek him out. You see, it is that forgiveness that brings salvation. If you're here this morning, you've never gone to him and asked him to forgive you for being a sinner, you ought to do that today before you leave. Now, I didn't say go to him and ask him to forgive you for telling a lie. I dare say most of us here have told a lie. I just waited to see if anybody was going to say, not me. All right, but anyway. Nobody jumped up. Hey, we're sinners. But I didn't say to you, go to him and ask you forgiveness for your sins. You see, need to go to ask him to forgive you for being a sinner. Call upon him. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm guilty. I need you to forgive me for being a sinner. I've talked to people before about their soul, and they say, oh, I pray every day and ask him to forgive me for my sins. I said, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, there ought to come a time where you went to him and called upon him and ask him to forgive you for being a sinner. Come and confess in that fact. Ask him to forgive you and to save your soul. Hey, we need that forgiveness. But can I say this right here? Good news. Take your Bible to 1 John chapter 1, would you? Some of the best news in the Bible is right here in 1 John chapter 1. We have this assurance, okay? We have this assurance. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, begins with a little bitty word. Little two-letter word, if. If. There are all kinds of possibilities in that little word, if. All kinds of possibilities. If. But the Bible said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise. Ever stop and think about what a promise that is? Here we are, the Bible condemns every one of us because it says we're all sinners, and we are, every one of us. But then the Bible also tells us, hey, you know what? Guaranteed you can get forgiveness. Guaranteed you can get forgiveness. What I have to do, confess. Confess. Anybody here like me say, yeah, but that's hard. I don't like confessing. Do you? You enjoy confessing? I'm going to give you the simplest example I can give you. I've used it in times past. When I was a little boy, hadn't even started school. I know I wasn't in school because my brother was at school. I was at home, so school was in session. And I wasn't sick in bed. So, I mean, I was at the oldest, 5 years old. And I was outside playing, as kids like to do. And there was a vicious beast that came over in the yard. Four-legged beast. Hairy little thing. Referred to as a cat, all right? And I was there and I did what any self-respecting boy would do. I picked up a rock and flung it at that cat. Now, cat had nothing to worry about. I was a little kid. My aim was terrible. I didn't hit the cat. I did no damage to the cat. But I guess I came close enough to the cat that he said, gee, I'm leaving if that's the way you're going to be. And so it scampered off. But then I heard my mother's voice call my name. And I went in the house. I don't remember her saying, did you throw a rock at that cat? She saw it. What in time? I didn't need to confess to her. She saw it. She looked at me and she said, you go next door. She said, you go next door to Mrs. I don't remember her name. She lived next door. Maybe it was. And she said, you go apologize to her for throwing a rock at her cat. Deep within myself, I wanted to say, Mom, you want me to go next door and lie? I'm not sorry I threw that rock at that cat. But you didn't talk to your mom that way if your mom was my mom. You never even thought about it, all right? So I went next door and I knocked on the door. I'm just a little bitty guy. That lady came to the door. Hardest words ever got out of my mouth. I'm sorry I threw a rock at your cat. But it didn't hit it. I didn't say that, all right? But man, that was tough. I'm going to tell you how much tougher it is for me to stand before God and to say, Lord, here I am and I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Hey, but the Bible says if we'll do that, you know what? We can get forgiveness. Forgiveness. And you know what? God doesn't forgive the way we do. When God forgives, He forgets. It's no longer there. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to worry about meeting that sin anywhere else. It's done. It's covered. It's excused. It's forgiven. And it's forgotten. Oh, I'm so glad our God's that way. Can I say this to you this morning? I don't care who you are, what your status is in life. You need to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. You need to seek His forgiveness. We, everyone, need to do that. But you know, there's something else we need to seek God for. And I think this is a thing that even fewer people seek God for. I mean, really seek Him for. You're still there in 1 John chapter 1? Back up to verse 1. verse 1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Boy, what a marvelous truth we find here in the Word of God. The writer of 1 John says, that which we have, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He wasn't talking about this book. He was talking about the physical word that the Bible says in John chapter 1 was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And He says, that life was manifested. It was made so we could see it. And we have seen it. And we bear witness of it. And we show it unto you, that eternal life. Said, man, if you get that which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Then it begins to talk about having fellowship. Fellowship. Hey, if you've been born again, we have the marvelous privilege of being able to have fellowship with our God. Did you hear that? We have the marvelous privilege of being able to have fellowship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We have that privilege. We can have fellowship with Him. You can do that. Now I want to ask you this. Do you have fellowship with Him? Now I'll say this to you, drop down to verse 6 here in 1 John, verse chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can't have fellowship with Him if you're walking in darkness. You can't have fellowship if you're walking in sin, if you're living a life of sin, ignoring the truth of the Word of God, disobeying what God says. Don't stand here and say, yep, I'm having fellowship with Him. You're a liar. That's what the Bible says. You're a liar. But you can have fellowship with Him. But I'll be honest with you, I think far too many of God's people come seeking Him for fellowship. Yet the Bible says our fellowship is with Him and with His Son. We can have that fellowship. We can know what it is to do that. But it requires, as verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have the privilege of fellowship with Him. Now, I don't know how much you fellowship with Him. I don't know how much you fellowship with Him. We gather together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we talk about fellowshipping with fellow believers. And we do. We do that. It's a joy to do that. It's a joy to rub shoulders with God's people. And it's a joy to be among them and talk to them and to just have fellowship. It's good to do that. I've been able to have the privilege of going other places. And you meet fellow believers and to have fellowship with them. But to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, how in the world do we do that? Well, I believe one thing it requires is to get in His book. To get in His book. Open it up. Open it up and read from that book. Not just to read and reading words and not just so you can check a box in your Bible reading schedule. But read this book and let the Holy Spirit of God bring it alive in your life. Bring it to life. To literally have that fellowship with Him. To know what it is to spend some time with Him. Now, we live in a day of busyness. Man, it is a busy world. Constant shuttling here and there and everywhere else. There's all kinds of things that grab our attention. We can go home and sit down and flip on the boob tube. And we can watch it. Nowadays, you don't even have to go home. You just pull the stupid thing out of your pocket. And you watch people in there. Glued right there. Right there. I mean, that's it. I'm going to tell you this. It's these things. It's that television set. It's the busyness of this world that pull us away from fellowship with the Father. We get so occupied with everything else, we don't know what it is to seek Him for fellowship. We don't know what it is to come to Him, to seek Him out, and to just get alone with God. And let His Spirit commune with our spirit. Listen, folks, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. The Holy Spirit of God is in you. And that Spirit of God can speak to your spirit and you can have fellowship with Him. But not if you're sitting there going, "Woo, home run!" I saw this last, I think it was this last week, that some ball player went 6 for 6 at the plate, hit 4 home runs, a double and a single in the same game. And he's a rookie. Now, you do understand what that means. The rest of his baseball career, he'll never have a day that good. He's already hit the peak. Hey, we get consumed with that. We don't have fellowship with the Father. So, preacher, something wrong with baseball? Not that I know of. But I'm just saying to you, we can come to Him for fellowship. Do you do that? The Bible said there in Mark chapter 1, the disciples came to the Lord and said, "All men seek for Thee." Can I ask you this morning, what are you seeking from the Lord today? Are you just seeking food for the body? Are you just seeking Him for physical help? Or have you sought Him for forgiveness? Have you sought Him for forgiveness? Do you know what it is to have called upon Him and asked Him to save your soul? Have you sought Him for forgiveness? Hey, maybe this last week you got out as a Christian. You went way beyond the bounds of what you should have done. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness. I guarantee you, all of us ought to be seeking Him for fellowship. Fellowship. How much time did you spend this last week in fellowship with the Father? Say, preacher, I'm not even sure I know what that is like. I understand that. Because I think far too many times we don't think about it. I told you, I believe it's rare for God's people to seek Him for fellowship. But we have that privilege. We can have fellowship with the Father. Now we have to learn to walk in the light. We can't walk in darkness. We can't be living and harboring that favorite sin. We can't be holding on to that sin. No, it needs to be confessed. It needs to be forsaken. And you need to cut some time out in your life where you're going to say, just going to have a little fellowship with my Father. Fellowship with Him. Hey, do you seek Him today? What do you need to seek Him for? It's a wonderful day to come to Him. It's a wonderful time to come seeking Him. Would you do it this morning? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed today, as we realize, hey, we have the opportunity, we can come to him, we can come seek him this morning. Hey, do you need to come to him for forgiveness? The altar's open. Would you come? Would you come? Hey, if you need a Savior and you need somebody to show you how to get saved, I'll meet you right here at the front. You come. Maybe you need to decide this morning, Lord, I'm going to cut out some time. I'm going to seek you for fellowship. I'm going to seek fellowship with